We're looking at Mark chapter 1, and we're reading from verses 21 to the end of the chapter. Verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway, on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with you, you Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commands he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with demons. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, demons, and suffered not the demons to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said to him, All men seek for you. And he said to them, Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out demons. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and he began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, we pray and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to remind you that the characteristic of Jesus in Mark's Gospel is that of the servant. In Matthew it's the king, in Luke it's the man, and in John it's the Son of God, the Heavenly One. And here in Mark it is the servant. And it's reflected in the word which is translated variously here, but it's in the Greek it's that word which means immediately. And it occurs 11 times in this chapter. Translated as immediately, or straightway, or forthwith, or anon, in various ways, but it's the same word, immediately. It's what is expected of the servant. The servant doesn't say, well, I'll do it when I've got time, or I don't feel like it today. The servant, when given the instructions by the master, says, I go, I obey, immediately. And it's a feature of Mark's Gospel, that this word immediately keeps cropping up, because it's the servant. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. God says in Isaiah, Behold, my servant. He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come here in verse 21, and again we're faced with this straightway. The next section is straightway. They came to Capernaum, straightway. Capernaum is up in the north of the Sea of Galilee, and it's right by the Sea of Galilee. And it was the centre of the fishing industry. but by the lake, by the sea. And it's where Peter and Andrew lived. That's why Jesus went to their house. It's where they lived. And Peter and Andrew and James and John, the fishermen, they were probably very well known in the city. And it was a big city, it was a major city. And the word Capernaum actually means village of ease, or village of comfort. That's where the world gets it wrong, isn't it? Like the rich man said, I'm going to build new barns, and then I'm going to get to that stage where I'm going to say to my soul, take your ease, relax, eat, drink and be merry. It's the attitude of the world today. Once we reach that stage of just leaning back and doing nothing, unaware that they're in tremendous danger, that their sin will find them out, that judgment will come. And straightway, here it is, immediately, on the Sabbath day, where do we find Jesus? Immediately, he's there in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and taught there. You know, when we look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and Luke also records these incidents in Capernaum, but he also deals with what happened before that. Before Jesus went to Capernaum, he was in his own city of Nazareth, and he went into the synagogue there. And it says there in Luke 4, verse 16, when he was in Nazareth, it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's where Jesus was. Oh, no doubt, people of the day who had some spiritual awareness could have said, this is all wrong. Too much bondage here. Too much hypocrisy here. But that's where you found Jesus, where the word of God was lifted up, in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And when he's talking in Luke's Gospel about his coming to Capernaum, he doesn't speak about just this Sabbath day, but he says as he came to Capernaum that he taught them on the Sabbath days. It was a series. It was something which went on day by day. And for him to teach, for him to be teaching here in the synagogue on Sabbath days, means that, to start with anyway, he must have been held in some respect. Why? Because he had a deep knowledge of the Word of God. At 12 years of age, he's surprising the doctors in Jerusalem by his knowledge of the Scriptures and the teachings of God. And he preached, he taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And they're astounded at his teaching. There was something about this man and his preaching and his teaching which was different. They were astonished at his teaching. For they said, he teaches as one that has authority. There is an empowerment to what he's teaching. What were they used to? They were used to what the scribes and the Pharisees doled out, no doubt, although the Pharisees probably didn't go up to Capernaum. They down in Jerusalem, not Galilee of the Gentiles. But you see what they've been dished up with? The scribes who knew the word of God, they were the ones who wrote it out. But they were limited, you see, to rules and rituals and procedures. There's no life in it. But when Jesus came, he taught with authority. There was an empowerment there. It was alive. There was demonstration. It's what Paul said, wasn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, and no doubt rules and regulations and all the rest of it, but was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Dunamis. Ability. Jesus preached. Jesus taught the kingdom of God. God rules. And as Jesus taught the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the reign of God, there was demonstration. What happened? As they're astonished at his doctrine, because he taught as one with authority, what happens? There's a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, in the control of a demonic power, one of the satanic forces. And Satan is not going to have this going on. And so Jesus comes immediately face to face with satanic opposition, demonic opposition. We've got to realise the times that we're living in, that demons haven't disappeared, that the powers of Satan, the satanic forces haven't disappeared, the principalities and the powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, they're not disappeared. There's a conflict going on. And when Jesus came and talked with authority, first thing that happens is there's conflict with satanic powers, with demonic powers. And this man in the synagogue cries out. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And the devil's not going to have that. There's going to be opposition, there are going to be obstacles, because Satan wants to put things in the way that people should not get saved. And Jesus came and began his ministry. What happened? We saw last week at the beginning of this first chapter. And Mark doesn't deal with it in much detail, but he says that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, tested of Satan, or tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. The first thing that Jesus came, because right at the beginning, after he had been baptized and the Spirit of God had come mightily upon him, there was that wonderful anointing, the satanic power was there. Right at the beginning, there's opposition from the enemy, trying to deceive, trying to lure astray. Jesus came through victorious. Hallelujah. The devil had nothing in him. Hallelujah. And he butted the enemy's suggestions with the word of God, with the word of God, with the word of God. In the power of the Spirit, because it was the Spirit that drove him into the wilderness. And here's what comes when Jesus is teaching with authority in the synagogue. A man with an unclean spirit, possessed of a demon, cries out, saying, "Leave us alone! Push off!" It's the enemy speaking. When those sort of attitudes come towards us, don't push off. Stand your ground. What have we got to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You see, defying. This is what we can expect as we speak out, but don't be put off by it. There's going to be defiance from the enemy. We're coming against the principalities and powers. They're there. Let's not be ignorant of that, and let's not be blind to that. Those powers and demonic powers and satanic forces, they're there, and that might be the first barrier we've got to get through. As Jesus came, there it was. Defying, disrupting, distracting. And we see it today. We see it here in this church. I don't know whether you're aware of it, but there are things going on which are distracting and defying the enemy. People wandering in and out and backwards and forwards and things like that. We need to stand. What did Jesus do? We need to take the victory ground. What did Jesus do? He rebuked the man. He rebuked the man. Note carefully, there's no argument from Jesus. He does not engage in debate with him. He doesn't argue with him. Sometimes I remember of all that, trying to witness, people began to get into arguments with other people. We're not called to argue. We're called to proclaim. And when Jesus dealt with this man, there was no argument from Jesus. He didn't sort of pick up on the points that the man was making and try to sort of rebuff them. He just said, "Shut up." He rebuked him. He rebuked the man. And the actual word that's used there in Greek means he forbade him. "Stop it." And then he said, "Hold your peace." That sounds very fluffy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want a nice translation of it? An accurate translation of it? Yeah. Be muzzled. That's what it means. Be muzzled. Do you want to put it in more blunt English? Shut up! You see, it comes across so tenderly, doesn't it, in the way that it's translated by tender-hearted people, no doubt. But with Jesus, it was quite brutal. He's dealing with the enemy. He's dealing with Satan. He's dealing with demonic powers. And he says, "You be quiet. Shut up. Be muzzled." No discussion. No debate. No argument. Just shut up. And then finally, come out of him. Clear off. He's talking to the enemy, not the man.
This man needs deliverance, he needs salvation. But he's talking to the enemy, he's talking to the demon. Clear off, get out, come out of him.
And the unclean spirit put up a bit of a fight. But he had torn the man, and he cried with a loud voice, he came out. There was the victory. You see, Satan and his hosts are destructive, but Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And in him we can know victory. Verse 27. And they were all amazed. You can imagine bottom jaws dropping down. They were amazed. What's all this about? What new teaching is this? With authority he commands even unclean spirits and they obey. And here it is again. Verse 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Hallelujah. Immediately his fame spread. That's barrier number one.
The powers of Satan present to disrupt. Let's be aware. We're going to face these barriers, but we've got authority. Just as Jesus showed and demonstrated. Clear off. No discussion, no argument, no debate.
And forthwith, that means immediately again. It's translating the same word. Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house. You see, they lived in Capernaum. And they were with James and John. And Simon's mother-in-law is sick of a fever. And straight away, anon, immediately, they tell him of her. Sickness, lay sick of a fever. You see, this is a further distracting work of the enemy. If you can't possess people, hit them with a disease or something. With a sickness, with a fever. This was the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples at another stage.
He said, you go, preach the gospel and heal the sick. And we need to come back to that again and again. We're familiar with the idea that we've got to proclaim the gospel. Preaching the gospel is not preaching a sermon, it's heralding the gospel, announcing the gospel. You're not putting it up for discussion. You're telling it, announcing it. Here is the news. The good news.
And heal the sick. There's a moving in authority there. There's a moving in a confidence of faith. Healing the sick. Didn't say pray for the sick at this stage. He said heal the sick. Amen. There's a power, you see, in this gospel. To save sin-sick souls, but to bring deliverance where there is disease and sickness and weakness. It's a distracting work of the enemy. If the Lord's going to save souls, he can certainly heal bodies. But sometimes the weakness of the human body and the sicknesses and diseases can be a barrier to that gospel getting through. For the salvation of the soul. But in verse 31 we've got that immediacy again. For when Jesus came, he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. She served them. What she was there for and could not do because she'd fallen sick of a fever, she now immediately was able to do. You see what happens when Jesus removes the barriers? We can move into those areas that he wants us to be. Jesus sets us free. Satan tries to put us to one side so that we're ineffective and can't do work for the Lord. But Jesus takes the barrier away. He heals the sick. He raises those that are laid aside with weakness and gives them strength. Faith was quickened in her heart. And when she was raised from that fever and began to serve them, by evening time, when the story had got around and the sun did set, they were bringing to Jesus all that were diseased and them that were possessed with demons.
Jesus had cast out the demon in the synagogue. Jesus had healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law in her house. And the news gets out. He's set the person free from the demon. He's healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And they're bringing the sick and they're bringing the demon-possessed to Jesus. The message spreads. This is the power of the gospel. When you begin to move, and when we begin to move in the power of the Spirit of God, and souls are saved, people are set free from demonic powers, and people are healed, the message begins to spread without our having to pay huge sums for advertising in the newspapers, and so on and so forth. The Lord does his own advertising, and they brought them to Jesus. And all the city, it says in verse 33, were gathered together at the door. They're still at the house. And they've got these crowds thronging around.
And he healed many that were sick of various diseases and cast out many demons and suffered not the demons to speak. Shut up, be muzzled. Because they knew him. What a saviour. Now we begin to get to the root of the problem that Jesus came to deal with. Sin. Sin. Satanic barriers, go away. Sickness, disease, be healed. But now we're coming to what Jesus came for. Right at the root of it. Sin. Our sin, which separates us from God. And we find Jesus, verse 35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Doesn't this encourage you for your prayer time?
Early in the morning, a great while before day,
getting ready for the day. That's where Jesus was.
And of course, you're reading in the newspapers this week that you only need 6 to 7 hours sleep a day. That's what it's telling us. If you have less than six, that's not too good for you. If you have more than seven, that's not too good for you either. So there you are, no more lies. They say they're bad for you, apparently, according to the newspapers.
What we find now is that Jesus is in prayer. He's at prayer because he needs to be equipped for what lies ahead for the present day. And Simon and they that were with him followed after. And they found him and said to him, everyone's looking for you. And what did Jesus say? Right, let's go and see what they want.
No, he said, let's scarper, let's get out of here. Let's go to the other cities.
He doesn't want the popularity. He doesn't want people coming for the wrong reasons. He's dealt with what he's had to deal with. There are those left behind that can carry on that message of faith. He's going to all the other cities now, all the other towns, all the other villages. And he preached in their synagogues, it says in verse 39, because he has to go there to preach throughout all Galilee and cast out demons. That work carried on, you see.
What happens next? There came a leper. And leprosy is so much in the Bible a type of sin.
It's a type of sin. It speaks about sin. It gets hold of the body and it destroys the body. Sin gets hold of a person and destroys the person. And it spreads and it contaminates. And we get to the root of the problem now. Jesus has come to deal with human sin. Jesus said, I've got to go to these cities, he says. I've got to go there, and it says there in verse 38, I've got to go and preach there also. And he preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee.
That word translated preached is the word which really means he heralded. He announced. He didn't preach a sermon. He announced the good news.
Not to put it up for discussion, just to proclaim it. This is the truth. This is the gospel. And the leper came. And it's so much like sin, leprosy. It's so much a picture of sin. And the leper says to Jesus, he came and he knelt down before Jesus and he said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can. He'd got faith. He'd got faith. But he wasn't sure about himself. I know you can make me clean, but am I worthy? Am I in that situation where you want to do it, Lord? I'm so vile, I'm so unlovely. And oh, that's the picture we should be getting of our sin.
That's what it was before the Lord. So vile, so unlovely.
And what a revelation is given about Jesus here in verse 41. And it says, Jesus moved with compassion.
Here's the vile leper. Everybody else is running away from him. Everybody else is going, yeah, get away.
But Jesus moved with compassion,
puts out his hand and does what nobody else would ever dare to do. He touches the leper. What Jesus has done for that leper, he has done for us. When we were lost in sin. Sin is abhorrent to God. The sinner cannot abide in the presence of God. But Jesus came in compassion and love. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy, to reclaim. Not only to touch our lives, but to come and to bear in his own body our sin. That our sin, that when he got to the cross, separated him from the Father. As he bore the judgment and the penalty for our sin.
What love! What compassion! How greatly we sing in the chorus.
But how greatly Jesus must have loved me. How greatly Jesus must have loved me to bear my sin in his body on the tree. Oh, hallelujah.
What a saviour. He is moved with compassion. He was moved. That word compassion, it carries with it in the Greek the idea of a moving of the intestines. It's a gut reaction of compassion. He's moved in his bowels, as it were, with compassion for this man. And he touches him, and as he touches him, he says, I will, I do want to be clean. And that lovely word again comes along. Immediately. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. He was cleansed. What a wonderful illustration of the work of Jesus in our lives. That which is vile and abhorrent to God is cleansed and washed away, dealt with, when Jesus touches our lives. And Jesus speaks to the man, and he charges him quite strictly, and immediately sent him away. And what did he say to him? He said, don't say anything. Show yourself to the priest and offer that offering that has to be made. It's an act of faith the man's got to make. He's got to go to that priest, as is described in the Old Testament, to make the offerings, and the priest declares him to be clean. He examines the man, he declares him to be clean. The man's got to go, though. He's got to go in faith. Not, oh, wonder if there's anything left. I wonder if there's anything still there. No, he's got to go in faith. You go. But you know, the man couldn't keep quiet. And you have to sympathise with him, don't you? You really do have to sympathise with him, because such a tremendous miracle has happened in his life that he can't keep quiet. He's got to tell everybody. That's how it should be with us. And he tells everybody, so much so that it hindered Jesus from working in those areas again because of the crowds that would throng him. He had to go out in the desert, and those that really wanted to know about Jesus, they went out into the desert places to be where he was. So the work still carried on, in spite of it all. You know, the Lord says in Jeremiah 29 verse 14, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord. So even though he wasn't there in the cities and the villages because of the tremendous problems of the crowds, those who really wanted to know him, if they sought for him, they would find him and receive his ministry. Jesus came, and he got through all the opposition of the enemy, the demonic forces, all the misery that the devil causes in sickness and disease. He got through all that to get to the root of the problem, to deal with our sin and to make us clean. What a saviour. And that brief chapter shows to us the work of Jesus in those stories. It's all there. As it carries on through the Gospels, it's all there. And it carries on today. He's not changed. And we can see these mighty miracles taking place. Let us also herald the Gospel. Not argue it. Not even preach it, but in that sense of preaching him, but let's herald him. Let's announce it, that souls might be saved. We'll find there's opposition. It might be satanic. It might be demonic. We might have to deal with situations where people are ill and sick because they've been afflicted by the enemy. But in the end, we're going to get through with the good news that Jesus saves from sin and sets free, so that the sinner, like the leper, can be made clean and perfectly whole. And be accepted in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Declared to be clean. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus.